Jingle. Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome to our stupid podcast.
Oh, it's, yes.
And the only reason I say so is because it's, what? It's still this week. It's not next week yet.
It's Friday.
Yeah. And sometimes, rather than it being late, you just have to get it done now. So here we are getting it done now. And that's basically all we can promise.
We have stuff to talk about.
Sure.
Why not?
Sure. Why not? Okay. The very first thing that I want to... Did I introduce myself? It doesn't matter.
You do not. You do not. No, you have to introduce yourself.
All right. My name is Simca Fisher. This is my husband, Damian Fisher. Okay. No.
Wait, that's not that?
No. Listen, just because they had $1 Long Island iced teas.
They were good.
Yeah, but...
I mean, they were $1.
They were a dollar, you know. It wasn't like a thimble or something. That's what I was expecting.
Yes,
anyway, I liked our waitress and I thought she was fine. Okay.
Did she have purple hair?
No. What? What are you talking about?
She had purple
hair. She did not.
Our purple highlights.
Seems like you were spending a lot of time looking at her hair, Damian.
Yes, because it's up there where her eyes are.
Okay. I'm going to talk about something else now. Here's something important that I saw. This is a letter to the newspaper. Just in case you get sort of down on your country and you're thinking that the people in other countries are smarter than people in our country by reading the letters that people in our country write. Here's a letter from somebody in another country. It's short. I'm going to read it to you. Okay. When the Pope travels from country to country on his visits, does he have to go through customs like everyone else? Or do the airport authorities make an exception? If, as I suspect they do, then that is just another example of one law for the rich and one law for the rest of us. If, however, he is subject to the same border checks as everyone else, then what a disgraceful slur on the honesty and integrity of this great religious leader. Either way, the hypocrisy sickens me. T. Hollowell leads.
I love that.
Isn't that beautiful? It's so short, and yet you can just...
He packed so much aggressive stupidity into under 300 words that I've ever seen.
I think we're a living testimony to how hard it is to let people know everything that you need to know about yourself in a short amount of time. But T. Hollowell from Leeds.
He nails it. He really does.
He really did.
Keeping to somewhat of a same vein of like feeling better about your own country.
Sure.
I feel so much better about the Catholic Church, which I get kind of down on the corporate church.
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, here's a story about Church of England, a top minister in the Church of England, which I don't know. Do you know why the Anglicans don't play chess?
I feel like I know this joke and it offends
because
me.
Because they're always confusing their queens with their bishops. Anyway, so...
Wait a minute, that's a multi-layered joke, isn't it?
So, a top C of E minister says that Christians should pray for Prince George to be gay, because then the Church of England would be forced to accept gay marriage.
Gee, that seems...
He's a little kid. Leave him alone. Assholes.
Yeah. Yeah, you said it. I have nothing to add. Except that last I heard, gay people were people and weren't supposed to be used as pawns to force politics through.
But little kids are pawns.
Oh, my gosh.
They're fair game.
Blah, blah. That's all I have to say about that.
I agree.
Everybody's terrible. Everybody's the worst. Do you want to hear something good, though?
I guess so.
Oh, I wish I had... I'm going to go back and read this story more in depth, but this is... Okay, so after the Holocaust, stay with me here. It gets happier.
Okay.
So you know you've heard about the Yad Vashem project. Basically, it's a memorial and it was like a database basically for people to write down their stories because you know after the camps were liberated, I mean if anybody survived, they didn't necessarily get back together with their family, and some people were scattered forever and never found out whether their relatives were alive or dead or where they were or what happened. So this man, 102 years old, and his grandson gets an email from a cousin saying that she was doing some research for a genealogy project and found out that he, the 102-year-old man, has a nephew from his brother whom he thought was dead. And he got separated in now I can't even remember the details, but, you know, part of the family got sent to the camps and they survived, but the brother got sent by the Russians to go to Siberia. And he assumed that that was the end of him, but it wasn't. He got married and he had a son. And this man, at age 102, was reunited with his nephew, Alexander, at age 66. And he says, he's meeting his son. And he says, you know, it's like meeting his brother again. And he gets at the end of his life, something is given to him.
Wow.
And they said that, you know, at first this project opened in 1954, I think. And at first, you know, people didn't want to talk about it. People were trying to rebuild their lives. So they had all this space for people to write down their stories. And there was a lot of space going unused. But I guess in 2004, they decided that they were going to go ahead and digitize it. And then people, you know, they had grandchildren by this time who knew how to use computers, and they were able to enter in the information. And now, and after that, there was sort of a big influx of new stories and reunions and discoveries. I'm looking for stories where people they had long since given up the idea of, you know, getting anything, and something was given to them after all. It was a good story to read.
Where can you read it?
I don't know. This is a kind of obscure thing. I'm sorry, you'll have to read.
Okay.
You'll have to do. What's the guy's name? This is pretty good. This is pretty good radio right here. I'll put up the link on the.
Okay,
on the,
I'm sorry.
I'll put up a link on the website. That's okay. Remember, it's Friday. It's not Sunday. It's still this week, and that's what you get. Okay. Hey, speaking of, that's what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ready to introduce our son and his brilliant idea?
I think we have to.
Okay.
With that build up, it is. I seriously think this is a great. It's a million-dollar idea, at least.
Okay, I'm gonna give this is our son Mo. Would you like to introduce yourself, Mo?
Sure.
Okay. You got to talk right into the microphone.
Right into the microphone, okay, like this.
Yeah, pretty much like that. So the deal is, we have to go all the way into the next state to go to Mass, and we have to go to catechism first. And not everybody's in catechism, and that means they have to go to McDonald's with us and have like coffee and hot chocolate in the morning.
It is the highlight of my week.
Yeah, it's the highlight of everybody. You really have to speak right into the microphone, though.
It's too close.
So we've had a lot of time to think about how we can improve. McDonald's and just sort of life in general. And Mo had a pretty good idea that almost got us thrown out of McDonald's. You tell them, I'm going to go get my power cord.
Okay. So I was just thinking, nobody really, you know, people are pushing to make bathrooms stop using the paper hand towels. But so, you know, they have the electric hand dryers, but they're really loud and like everyone just ends up washing or drying their hands on their pants anyway. So I figured if you just got a pair of jeans and hung it up in the bathroom, then everybody could use that. And then you could just wash it at the end of the day. And you could have like several of them so it wouldn't be that dirty.
Where would people be getting these jeans?
I don't know. Where do you get jeans?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out how this is sustainable. I mean, are we just manufacturing jeans to be used in bathrooms now?
Jeans aren't that expensive and they don't have to be high quality jeans.
Well, but they still cost something. And you're taking up resources.
Well, people can donate. People will catch on to this idea. I don't know. Start a GoFundMe.
So, are you gonna like just this is like cash for clunkers, where you destroy the whole like secondhand jean economy, using them to wipe your hands on them. I don't know if you've thought this through completely.
You know what? I haven't thought anything through, and I've gotten this far.
it's gotten him this far. Yeah. That works. It reminds me of somebody once told me that it was no longer necessary to have to regulate industry anymore, because in the old days they were doing bad things like, you know, triangle fire, shirtwaist fire, factory fire. You remember there was a lot. I was in fifth grade. It was a long time ago, and then like asbestos and bad things that industry would do. But they've learned their lesson, and now they're different, so we can stop harassing them all the time with laws, because people have improved. So I think, all right, I wasn't in the same room when you were telling about your stupid pants thing, but I think you make an excellent point. That's basically all I wanted to say about that. I really have to plug in my power cord. This is probably the best podcast ever. I'm going to try very hard not to electrocute myself. Here we go. Okay. I have something else important that I have to tell everybody about. And I sort of, boy, I went back and forth about this one. The headline is a little bit misleading. And I feel, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Okay, this is from the New York Post. It says, 300-year-old note found inside butt of Jesus statue. And that's essentially an accurate headline.
I don't...
Well, what?
That's not cool.
No, it's not. But I think what we have here is somebody who had a good idea and was a stupid person. I think that's basically what happened. Sometimes you have people who have, there's nothing wrong with the idea. It's just the execution of it is sort of clumsy. Apparently what happened is that, was it a priest? I think it was a priest. And he had the idea, this is, again, 300 years ago, that he wanted to make sort of a time capsule, which was not okay. A normal thing to do. But he just wanted to. Like, I guess they don't know that much about him, but apparently that was the plan. So he wrote down... he named the statue sculptor and included data on local information ranging from agricultural matters to community affairs. And the document highlighted common diseases, popular children's games, and even the names of popular bullfighters in the area. Huh. And then he put it inside the statue. And they were restoring it, and they took a piece of fabric off, and they noticed there was a hole.
Wait, did he punch a hole in the bottom and stuffed it in there?
I don't know what happened.
Was it a
Damien.
Hollow statue? I thought these things were like solid marble or something.
No. It was like
so. It was a cheap one.
Well, it was. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I'm as baffled as you are. I'm as offended as you. Why did you even bring that up?
I didn't know this was you.
Offensive.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, that's. I don't know. That's all I got. And you.
Well, I do have another story that I think. It comes from the world of Goop.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot all about Goop.
And the headline, it's a story on Jezebel, which mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Check
I
your sources.
I don't know why I read Jezebel, because I'm pretty sure if they knew I was reading them, they would like send a cease and desist letter or something. Or
yeah,
or
you're not the target.
Shame me. I'm not the they have some amusing stuff. Anyway, anti-medication Goop Summit expert claims AIDS treatment kills and GMOs cause depression. Mm. So it's a doctor, lady, and her name is Kelly Brogan, who is a holistic health
That's
psychiatrist.
That's a made-up name, Kelly Brogan. That's
yes.
Not her real name.
She believes that there is no link between HIV causing AIDS. And that the drug toxicity associated with AIDS treatment may very well be what accounts for the majority of deaths. Well, it gets better. It gets better. The articles she has written include, I've got a good list here, I'm sorry. It's a long article of really stupid shit, so I've got to go scroll down.
Scroll.
All right, so 5 foods that cause depression, and that would be gluten, dairy, GMOs, yeah. Sugar, artificial sugar, and vegetable oils.
That's,
what do you mean by GMOs?
Everything. Genetically modified yep. organisms.
But, anyway, how to live a medication-free life, mass shootings, the new manifestation of an ancient phenomenon, and their link to psychiatric drugs.
Oh, but wait, but...
You know what? I am related to people who believe this nonsense.
Yeah. Wow.
Chemotherapy doesn't work. We should skip flu shots. And of course, you knew it was coming. Fluoride is harming our brains.
Well...
So...
I mean, it's possible that this woman has had a lot of GMOs and fluoride and AIDS drugs, and that's why she's so stupid. I could go for that.
It could be. I don't know. I'm always shocked when one of these folks turns up. It's just like,
well,
wow.
People, oh boy, you know, I don't necessarily want to go off on a whole rant about it, but it is amazing to me how I remember just a few years ago that people would try and make an argument, you know, if they believed something, they would try and make an argument for it. And if you gave them counter evidence, they would say, well, I don't believe you, or, well, this is some other evidence that shows that you're not right. Now that doesn't seem to be what they do. They just seem to say, well, I don't want to believe you, so I don't.
It doesn't matter.
It
It doesn't matter. Truth does not matter for a long time.
I guess so. People are just so comfortable with it, though. I mean, we all do that. We all do that to some degree or other. But I try to keep it to, like, you know, does it really matter if we have, what did we have for supper today?
I don't know. You guys didn't have supper.
No. Well, yeah. Apparently, we didn't have supper today. That's what the kids kept telling me, like through mouthfuls.
Well, you know what? I took you out, mm-hmm. and we had Long Island iced teas, mm-hmm. and you ordered the steak salad without the steak.
Sorry, that was stupid. I was just.
But the gal didn't charge us for the steak that you didn't eat, so I thought that was nice.
It was weird without steak, though. I was eating it, thinking, "What is the matter with me?"
That was a weird trip, by the way. Let's go way off of our script, which kind of sucked anyway. But that was a weird trip out.
It was a weird trip out.
Yeah.
Well, we were surrounded by weirdos, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, well, because it was Applebee's
on a Friday night where they had a special for Long Island. It was the first day of the special. Yeah. It was everybody's birthday. They sang that birthday song like 11 times.
I know.
The woman, the last time, it was right across from us, and she practically threw the check in our face before she was even done singing the song. It was not festive.
It was not, yeah, not, no one was really happy to be there, I would say.
Well, I mean,
I was having mixed grains. We sat down. We ordered. We didn't even order our drinks, and I get a call, like a panicked call from one of my editors about a story I'd written.
It was like 10 o'clock on a Friday.
Yeah, and so I had to stand outside in the cold to hear him on my phone and go. It was a ridiculous thing too. Someone who's just been sentenced to a federal prison for fraud was upset about
a lot of fraud.
Well, actually, the sentence is a little sentence for one little fraud, but they got him on. They got, you know, evidence of a whole bunch. And this lady, apparently, you get free phone calls in federal prisons, all the time, free unlimited calls. Well, she's calling everywhere. they called, and her fiance called the office, very upset. And they sent out a press release basically saying how much I suck, which, you know, take a number, assholes, really.
Go home for that. We don't have to.
Yeah. and then they started throwing out these crazy accusations against other, like, random people.
Yeah.
Like, really crazy. Like, if we touched that, if we thought about touching that, we would get sued into oblivion.
Yeah.
And I basically had to explain to my editor, no, the crazy lying person who's in jail for being crazy and a liar is kind of lying here. I think we should walk away.
I feel like since you started working there, there's been a distinct uptick in the number of calls from crazy people in federal prison threatening to sue you.
I would say it's 100% uptick because I generally don't have that. I generally don't have that. I used to get threats like that all the time.
Yeah.
And if I don't get them every once in a while, I feel like I'm not doing my job very well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know what to tell you. If you weren't doing your job, would you be able to go to Applebee's and have $1 Long Island iced teas? I don't think so, because that's $3 each.
That's true. That was $6. That was $6.
And then I badgered you into
Tipping though it was more, even though, why?
Because she had to trot back and forth the same amount for a $1 drink as she would if for a $4 drink. So why should you tip her on a $1?
Well, you know, maybe if she got them there in under 5 minutes from order to table, sure.
Maybe if it had been your birthday, she would have...
How did she know it wasn't my birthday?
Because I didn't tell them.
Yeah, well, they should know this shit. No.
Oh. Do you want to go to Applebee's for your birthday?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
I'm more of a Chili's man.
You know... The whole time we were there, and the whole time I was sitting there at a table by myself, they were playing music, and it kept on being music that I was thinking was like a boring, dreary cover of music that I remember from being in college and high school, and then I would listen to it a little bit more, and I realized, no, that's just what the song sounds like. It's all terrible. It's all terrible music. It's all music that's like... They hit that really sweet spot of something of that, like, this is really famous and this is going to jog your memory and it will disappoint you like every single song. It was just, you know, it was like what is that band? Squeeze and Billy Joel and what's her name? Alanis Morissette. Was that Alanis Morissette? It was just like,
I was coming home tonight and flipping through the radio, and you know, I just keep pressing the button and scanning through until it starts a song that sounds like a song. So much music doesn't actually sound like songs.
Yeah.
And so I'm skipping through, and it starts. I'm like, huh, this sounds kind of familiar. It's a little cheesy, definitely late 80s, early 90s. And then I realize it's Poison's Every Rose Has a Thorn. Just, my goodness. That is like the worst song I think ever recorded.
Oh, it's pretty bad. That was when we were in junior high, as I recall.
I don't know. It was like, could they aim lower, Poison?
Well.
Yeah.
And I used to get on my nerves that they pronounced it Tharn. I remember that really offending me.
I don't know why they wanted to go like all Western for that one song.
Yeah, I don't know. That was weird.
It was just ridiculous hair metal.
It wasn't a thing at that time either. It was just, no. Well, I don't know. I'm as baffled as you are.
I am too.
Seems like there would be something else interesting that happened at Chili's, but I don't know. We just complained about terrible people to each other, much as we're doing now. And
we have a lot of terrible people in our lives.
Kind of. It's been that kind of month. I expect December to be entirely different. We're going to make friends, Damien.
Well, no, that doesn't happen.
No, we're going to get accolades. We're going to make friends, and people will give us,
I was just hoping to stock up on ammunition.
It's okay with me. I was, I went out to the nursing home a little while back to visit my mother, and I had two of the kids with me, and they were sort of regretting coming along, I think, unfortunately. It's okay. It's all right for kids to have experiences that aren't their favorite experiences. Sometimes they survive. I was happy to have them there anyway. But they were feeling a little low, so I'm pointing out stuff. Oh, look at those leaves changing color. Oh, look at that weird house. Oh, look at the river. It's so high. And I was like, oh, look. And I stopped myself because just before we got to the nursing home, the last house there had two enormous deer on hooks hanging up outside the house. Well, don't look at that.
Oh, it is New Hampshire.
Well, there's a lot of meat in deer. You get a deer. You get a freezer, and you're set.
We don't have chronic wasting disease in New Hampshire either. I know some parts of the country, it's similar to mad cow, and deers have this chronic wasting disease, and you have to get your deer tested if you take one in other states.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
We don't have that in New Hampshire.
That was a couple of really hearty, plump-looking deer. No wasting at all. I mean, they didn't look happy, but
well. Oh, you know what? I once had a great deer hunting story.
Yeah.
When I was working for another paper, I was basically, it's this huge newspaper, and I was just working a Sunday shift every once in a while. And I came in, and the story that we got was this hunter. He was out, and he had a thing. He was actually coming home, and he sees a deer off on his property. He says, well, gets his rifle, and his thing was one shot. I guess people do that. He's just one shot. That's it.
Yeah.
And he hits the deer.
Yeah.
And he goes up to slit its throat.
Yeah.
To let it bleed out. Well, the deer was still kicking.
Well,
and it gored him.
Yeah.
With its horns and carried him off into the woods.
Whoa.
So yeah.
Those things are enormous. And yeah, I mean, what does he have to lose at that point? Why not? I would.
Jerk. Take him out. Well. Shooting him.
Did he? Well, so did he die? Or?
No, he survived.
Yeah.
And I think. He says he's probably not going to go hunting again. Here's the thing. He was using a 25 rifle. Go for a 30-32. Come on. Something a little bigger.
Well,
so make the one shot count.
Yeah.
It was like a 25 Magnum load, and that's kind of a small bullet for
anything. I don't know what anything. That means. You say these. I don't know what you're talking about. I think, he's going to talk about guns.
I don't know either.
I don't understand it. You have strong opinions, and I support that. That's
hooray.
Really as far as I'm willing to go. Do you want to hear a poem, though?
Yes, I do.
Okay, hold on a second. I haven't read this one for a long time. It came back to me. It's a Richard Wilbur poem that I had forgotten about. Hold on a second. Oh, no, where is it? Okay. All right, this is The Ride by Richard Wilbur. Okay. Oh, The Ride. The horse beneath me seemed to know what course to steer through the horror of snow I dreamed, and so I had no fear. nor was I chilled to death by the wind's white shutters, thanks to the veils of his patient breath and the mist of sweat from his flanks. It seemed that all night through, within my hand, no rein and nothing in my view but the pillar of his mane, I rode with magic ease at a quick, unstumbling trot through shattering vacancies or on into what was not, till the weave of the storm grew thin with the threading of cedar smoke and the ice-blind pane of an inn shimmered and I awoke. How shall I now get back to the inn-yard where he stands, burdened with every lack, and waken the stable hands to give him, before I think that there was no horse at all, some hay, some water to drink, a blanket, and a stall. It's a problem. I've had that problem. I like Richard Wilbur. I have a recording of him reading it, but I didn't want to. I didn't want to play it because I don't know what his voice sounds like and I don't want to be disappointed. So, you know, my brother has a autograph of Richard Wilbur on his forearm as a tattoo because he was at a book signing of his and I don't know if he didn't have paper or he just thought it would be cool to have Richard Wilbur sign his actual arm. And then he went and got it tattooed over before it faded away. Wow. I thought of that because, I mean, I like Richard Wilbur, but I don't know.
It's his autograph on
his book. Yeah, it's his autograph. But, no, it just made me think of it because I saw a listing in Etsy this morning for John Paul II's, in his own handwriting, it says, "Be not afraid." It's a temporary tattoo. I forget what the name of the store is, but I thought that would be a pretty cool stocking stuffer for the right kid. Maybe not for every kid. Right. But... Oh, well, I guess I'll show myself out.
All right.